Hello, I'm Teresa Ayers.
And I'm Janet Gallen.
And we welcome you to
Love Letters Live, a show about love letters. Who should get them? Who should write them? And I don't know my answer. The short answer is everybody should get them and everybody should write them. And that doesn't mean that you have to write one to everybody. It's just that if you feel something for someone that's gratitude or love, appreciation of any sort whatsoever, then why not?
Mm-hmm.
It makes somebody else's life better. If a doctor's done something wonderful for you, or, I mean, it doesn't have to be romantic.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you feel romantic towards that doctor.
And it's such a mood lifter for yourself. If you're ever feeling, you know, down in the dumps, turn it around. Think about someone that you would, you know, that you love and you would like to show your appreciation to, and I can guarantee that you'll start feeling better immediately.
It is amazing. And by the way, even pick a person who's done you a small favor. We had a guest once a couple of years ago, and she said she wanted to write a love letter to the bus driver who smiled at her as she got on the bus when she was having one of the worst days of her life.
Yep.
Why not?
And
I mean, I think that's just, you know, love letters can be to virtual strangers. No one who smiled at you is really a stranger.
Right.
So, anyway, let's go to our guest. And Teresa, I'm going to ask you to introduce Bea because you're the one who found her.
Well, I found her in the Wall Street Journal. One weekend, I was reading the weekend journal, and there was a list of people in the United States of America who've made an outstanding contribution, so much so that the Wall Street Journal recognized them. And there I found Bea, and she lives here in the Bay Area, and we asked her to be on the program.
Thank you. So, Bea Bostrom, let's go right to you. And where did you grow up? Where are you from originally?
I was born in Belgium, mm-hmm. Antwerp, and then I was one of nine children.
Ah.
And I studied to be a nurse, and when I, for my graduation present, my father gave my first camera.
Mm.
So I started getting involved in photography, and then I went to Holland to follow a five-year course for photography.
Well, so now what year was this, if I may ask?
That was...
So we can put it historically. About?
Let me... In the 50s.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And then I went for my practical year, and also after finishing, I was for 8 years, I worked in London.
Mm-hmm. As a nurse?
No, as a photographer.
As a photographer.
I studied photography.
Did you have a specialty within photography?
I did like people and photojournalism,
mm-hmm.
but I also found that it was very hard to make a living in that because so many people want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Then, but during my practical year, I learned to use studio cameras and things, and I just got to love it. It is a complete different way to look at things.
Uh-huh.
You create, you start from nothing, and everything is under your control, the lighting, the composition. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you work like a day or 2 days or just one shot. And so I kept people photography just for myself because I didn't have to make money in it. And I just love to go out. And
did you give up the nursing?
Oh, yes.
Completely?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, completely. In a way, I was very lucky because I couldn't get a grant from Belgium because you could study photography in Belgium. And I couldn't get it from in Holland because I was Belgian. So I worked for these 4 years in the week, Friday evening, all Saturday, Sunday, and Monday evening, I worked in the hospital to pay for my studies.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, it was great. But after that, I didn't do it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love photography.
So where did this take you, and how did you come to do what you're doing now, which I want to hear about?
Then I came to this country, and where I met my husband, I met him through the Yellow Pages.
Oh.
I was for a place to work from, and that was here on Market Street.
Mm-hmm.
The thing, though, there was not enough work here in San Francisco, so we moved to New York, and we were there for 22 years.
Wait, so you met him in San Francisco,
yes.
And then you found him in the San Francisco Yellow Pages.
In San Francisco Yellow Pages.
They should know about this. Okay.
I know. That's an advertisement.
Did you ever let them know this story? maybe
she knew
the Yellow Pages.
No, I didn't.
Okay, so I see another love letter coming. But okay, so then you moved to New York and did
to
what?
New York, opened there a studio on Park Avenue.
Oh, how
and
nice!
And we also had a house in the country. In Catskills, and my husband was basically, he was not just a photographer, but he was a fine arts painter. So he moved there full time.
And his name?
Tor.
Say again?
Tor. T-H-O-R. Swedish. And so he was there full time, and for several years we were just weekend marriage, but it worked perfectly. It was a great time because whenever we were together, we had parties or people came over. It was just it was a really great time. Then after 2001, after September 11, New York was really a bad place. So in the lease of the studio came up, so I decided to close the studio and move full time. To the country, and I thought then we can travel and we don't have to worry about the studio, the business.
So how did you come to?
Then the thing though, 2 months after I moved there full time, my husband found out that the prostate cancer, what was in remission, came back, and from there on it was just
terrible.
Yes, and it was during the last weeks. Months when he was dying that I looked up in the what thinking what I would do next, so I decided to join Peace Corps.
Oh.
But I didn't tell him because you don't know what goes through someone's head when they are dying. But a couple of weeks before he died, he asked me, what are you going to do if I'm not longer here? So I said the Peace Corps, and he said, excellent idea.
Oh my.
What I knew. So I went down to the Peace Corps.
I've just got chills at that making that decision together at that last time.
It was
time.
Really great. So then I went to, I was sent to, you have a choice, the Peace Corps. And I selected Africa, and I was sent to Kenya. And it was a great, it was not easy. Only 50% of our group, we're a group of 30, made it to the end.
Really?
But it
what makes it most difficult?
Some people don't fit in. You're sent to mostly to very remote places, and I was in Ahero. A place close to Lake Victoria, and all my neighbors were living in mud huts, no running water, no electricity, and so my house, I was actually at a nice house, but I was sometimes 2 weeks without running water.
Yeah. So you're, in other words, some people just couldn't adjust to that.
That's right.
Change
it's
in
really tough. And the hardest thing for me was I felt like a walking dollar sign. Everyone comes one, and I was the only white person there. And it was after a while that when I was there that I met so many kids who were actually found out they were raised by their grandmothers.
Oh, okay.
Because the parents had died of AIDS. Mm. There is like a whole generation disappearing. And so I started that group there to support those grandmothers because they didn't know where to go. Some had problem to walk, to see.
Sure.
So with a chairman of a youth group that I started there too, we interviewed him. He identified the grandmothers. We went to visit them, find out.
Scattered.
So we started with 15 grandmothers who were raising 42 grandmothers.
So these are grandmothers, obviously, who have lost their children to AIDS, raising children who have lost their parents to AIDS. So it's two broken-hearted generations trying to make a life.
Right. No, it was just heartbreaking to see. When I came back, I just couldn't forget it, and I was trying to find out how I could support them. And they are making baskets, and so on the internet I was trying to see if I could sell basket for them. And I, it was not easy. There was one company who was interested in doing it, and they ordered 20. But that was, and the person, he was very nice though. And the person who was in charge of it, he wanted to deal directly with the craftspeople. Mm-hmm. And I said, great, let him do it. Mm-hmm. If it, he has experience, you know how to do it. After 3 months, I didn't see the baskets were not listed on his website.
Uh-huh.
What made me realize, for him it was just one product.
Yes.
For me, I saw the faces and I know those people. So
yes,
I did do it myself. And I also applied for my 501c3 mm-hmm. non-profit status, but took like 6 months to get.
You and go back and forth to visit?
I just went last this September for the first time because I only left in 2006,
sure,
the end of 2006, and then I had to find a new home. I wanted to come back to California.
So you, so you, when you went back, these people all remembered you?
Oh, they do. And the, also the interesting thing was because the time that I was there, I was one only one in my group who never was sick. No upset stomach, no diarrhea, no malaria.
What was the nature of the work that you were doing for the Peace Corps?
The thing, I was small business and information technology.
Oh, okay.
But most of the volunteers, actually, they are sent to NGOs and they follow someone up.
They were sent to?
Non-government organization.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
But I was requested by the wife of a member of parliament, and I was the first one, and I just could do whatever I wanted. No one, and what in a way was not easy because I just had to find out.
So you were sent there to do something, but it wasn't defined?
No, it was not really defined. To work with women groups and women, you know, just came to me to come and talk to their groups, and
yeah,
basically they wanted for, they saw a source of money there.
Yes, so uh-huh, they need to be able to feed these children and themselves. And
well, those women, no, that is the group with other women groups. The one with the grandmothers, I started that.
Yes, mm-hmm, but I realize that. But so your goal was to help them make a living.
Yes,
so
also
that they could take care
I
of
worked
themselves
closely with CDC had a big office at the Center of Disease Control,
uh-huh,
who I organized to come and talk to the groups about a water treatment,
uh-huh,
to prevent diseases. I also worked with an organization who came give workshops for solar and fireless cooking. Mm-hmm. So I was working organized, like, workshops for the
women
groups.
So you were
groups
sent there to, in some way, improve the lives of these women.
Exactly,
and
exactly.
And it was up to you to figure out,
that's right, exactly,
the best use of your time.
Exactly.
So
okay,
do these children, are these children aware that their parents died of a disease that is preventable? And do some of these children have AIDS themselves?
No, I don't think so. And some of the kids are having AIDS.
Yes.
And that is also what, especially for the youth group that at CDC, they came and talked for them how important it was for them, you know, to prevent the,
yes,
disease.
Yes.
And for the grandmothers,
has that been effective?
Well, it is very slow. It is working, but it works very slowly. And there is also VCTs, volunteer counseling and testing,
mm-hmm,
what is free. But a lot, in the beginning, when I was telling the women group, you should go and test. And they said, what is the point? If we have AIDS, we don't have the money for medication. Mm-hmm. So, but, you know, I tried to convince them that it was important. And now medicines all already much gone down in price. You can afford,
mm-hmm,
afford it.
So while you were working with these women, then these grandmothers, you decided that the baskets that they made could be a source of income for them if they had a market for them.
Yes, because a lot of women do it there. So, mm-hmm, for them, it is very hard to sell them because, mm-hmm, everyone makes them.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I came back and just through friends and family, word of mouth, last year I was able to sell 243 baskets in 14 different states.
Oh, wonderful.
And now last...
Through the internet?
Well, the internet and mostly like friends and family.
Sure.
And the word spread, you know, did. And last year, this year, through a friend, a lawyer of New York ordered 200 baskets, and he was to give them as Christmas gifts, corporate gifts to his clients.
How wonderful.
And that was just before I went to visit them again. I went to visit for the first time again in September. And so they had to... I just had found out about that big order.
Okay, so do you want to give us a website where people can go and look at...
It is www.grgaher, and that's from Grandmothers Raising Grandchildren.
So
G-R-G... Ahero. Ahero is the name of the village.
Oh, so how do you spell that?
A-H-E-R-O.
Okay, so G-R-C.
No, G-R-G.
G-R-G.
Ahero.
A, let's spell it all out.
Yeah.
A-H-E-R-O.
Correct.
Like a hero.
That's right. The only thing Ahero means in Luo, the local language, I love.
Ahero. And that's dot org.
Okay,
right? We'll say it again at the end.
Okay.
So then how did all of this morph into a charitable organization for you? Can you tell us about your...
Well, I wanted to help more... Because I just could not forget those grandmothers, so I started with importing the baskets. And that is basically where it started with now this year, and after being back there and visiting, there are now 42 grandmothers who are raising 124 grandchildren. Mm-hmm. So being back there and visiting all them again, trying to see what else we could do. And we, with Moses, who is the coordinator of the group, and he's the one who I'm in touch with through the internet. He knows. Obviously, the grandmothers don't know how to use the internet. So we decided what would be really helpful for them is for each family to have two female goats.
Oh.
And so I did it. Now, another friend of mine told me, who needs any more Christmas presents?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
So instead of giving a present, we made cards. A donation is made in your name for $40 to give a goat to the grandmothers.
Oh, excellent. Mm-hmm.
So
people can do this continually.
That's right.
Okay.
Yes.
So let's talk about your love letter.
Just a reminder to our listeners that this is Love Letters Live. We're here every week at this time with a fabulous guest with a story to tell and a letter to write.
So who gets your love letter today?
Well, I would base it partly to the grandmothers, but mainly to the children of Ahero.
Okay.
I have never seen such lovely children as there, and I'm sure there are many more, but they are happy. They don't have anything. They make their own toys out of mud.
Out of what?
Mud.
Uh-huh.
They don't, and the most beautiful little dolls. The boys make cars, and they used to, when they saw me coming, I used to hear my name. I went there under the name, my official name, Beatrice.
Mm-hmm.
And I could hear, Beatrice, Beatrice.
They called you Beatrice.
And yes. I even couldn't see them. And out of the shade, they would come running barefoot to the field just to shake my hand.
Mm-hmm.
They would shake my hand, then touch my skin, my hair.
Mm-hmm.
And they were so sweet, the kids. Often, too, what is interesting, after they had shaken my hand, they walked away, many kids would just smell their hands who had touched me.
Oh, yes.
What was very interesting.
Yes.
And I assume, you know, because you don't use
people
soap,
have scent.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, but it was so interesting to see them walking away and smelling their hands.
Personal scent is such a connecting.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, and I'm sure they could feel your love.
Oh, yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. What else would you like to tell them?
I would tell them that what is very important for them is education. And that is one, the next step, what I want to do when I go back. I want to go and talk, especially to the older grandchildren, mm-hmm. to have a feel what they want, how, what they are hoping for, and then set up scholarship for the one who are doing well in school.
Mm-hmm. You want to be able to do that?
That's my next step, because I think it is so important for...
Are there schools there?
Primary school is free, secondary school not, and they often have them to go a distance for... But there are schools mm-hmm. Available. Mm-hmm. And that is my next goal. Also, I would tell them, when they grow up, really to take care of their grandmothers,
yes.
if they, because the grandmothers have been left with those kids. One of the grandmothers what I visited now, she's 73 years old. She has 7 grandchildren, but she raises, and one of the grandchildren is about an 8-year-old girl who's mentally retarded. Mm-hmm. And they have, every 2 weeks, they have meetings. And the way she keeps track of the meeting, she has 14 sticks. And every day, she takes a stick away. And then she knows it's time for a meeting again.
Oh, my. Clever.
It is just amazing. And to me, too, that what was so interesting... To be in Peace Corps at this time of my life, I never thought it would have such an impact afterwards. Mm-hmm. You know, you realize I made a difference in those people's lives, but what I did get out of it, when I came back from Peace Corps, then looking for a new place to live. Mm-hmm. To have running water, cold water, what you can drink. You don't have to boil it or to treat it. To have a hot shower. To have electricity. It is just the experience. It's just, you know, we have been spoiled here in this country.
Well, no, or they haven't been privileged enough. I mean, you know, what is it that you got personally out of this experience with these families in Kenya? That would be nice to tell them. You can see how they've changed.
How they the love that they give. Those grandmothers, they are so grateful for the little what you actually do, and you just can feel it when you meet them. Also, when the meeting, there is something, when they have meetings, it always starts with a prayer. Mm-hmm. You're very religious.
So you were touched by their faith.
Faith. But the end of the meeting, they all would dance. Mm-hmm. And they had the joy what they had with the little what they had. And... if you see them dancing and singing, that was the you know, and with nothing. Mm-hmm. And that is part, I also believe that there are so many groups, because that, and also going to church, because that's the only entertainment, the social thing.
Mm-hmm. Now, is this a Christian?
Yes. Mm-hmm. There are so many different churches there, mm-hmm. many different churches. And that's always the first... what they're asking you, what church do you belong to? Mm-hmm. And I'm not religious, so I told them, I'm not religious, but I respect people who do. Mm-hmm. But I also wanted them to know that it is not only religious people who do good.
Oh, that's a nice point.
Because I said, you know, I respect people who are religious, but I'm mm-hmm. not religious. Mm-hmm. But that was always that was the first question that they would ask. But they are so grateful. Mm-hmm. And I just hope. I never thought that I would get that far. It never was my intention to start it. But just it slowly grew. And
through meeting them and getting to know them, you mean?
And but coming back, that's right, and coming back, and I just couldn't forget it. Mm-hmm. I could not forget these faces. Mm-hmm. And now, after being back in September, it was the first time I had to visit them, and it was just so great. So now I'm planning at least to go every year and to keep in touch with them.
And you can see them grow up, actually.
That's right, that's right.
Where are the grandfathers?
There are a couple, but not that many. It is mostly the woman who take care of them. Also, the interesting thing, and I asked that on one of the people at CDC who dealing with all people with AIDS, and I was asking them, I said, you know, are there more men dying of AIDS or women dying of AIDS? Because you see the woman, but not men. And he said, no, more women. But men remarry, but women don't.
Oh, so the men infect more women? Is it? Well, they're...
One of the reasons, though, that they are infecting... that it was spreading so fast before they even realized it was there, that people with education, they have to go to the big cities for work.
Mm-hmm.
So they often come only like two or three times a year back home. The families are staying in the villages. So, and that's one of the reasons, you know, young men.
Mm-hmm. Yes, of course they bring back. Uh-huh.
So that is one of the reasons that there are, you know, more.
Terrible. So this is in some way your family now. I mean,
yes, they really, for me, they really mean a lot.
And they've made it so that you could have the joy of making a difference in the world.
Right, and we're starting now in January. I'm starting to send money over for the goats.
Wonderful.
And first for the families with the largest. A group of kids, you know, some grandmothers have two children, some mm-hmm. have 10, some 6. So, but that is what I'm starting in January.
Wonderful. Well, we want to say just exceptional what you have done, and good luck in making that part of the world stronger for your presence and what you've put into it. And do you want to say the website once more now?
Sure.
So
it's
really clearly.
GRGAHERO.org.
Okay, so that's Grandmothers Raising Grandchildren, a Harrow, which is the word for love.
And the name of the village.
And the name of the village. Thank you so much.
And this letter will...
This letter is going to go, you said, to the children. So I've written down notes, and you mm-hmm. can go from that. I've written down the beautiful things you've said, and I'm going to give it to you so you can use that as your basis for constructing your letter.
Okay.
And I hope you'll send it soon.
I will.
And I don't. Yes. And maybe since it's to so many people, that you could ask that it be posted somewhere.
Okay.
So many people could see it. So you'll address it to one main person, right?
Yes, okay. Moses.
Moses. Dear Moses, I'm sending this to you, but it is to everybody, the children. Okay.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Thank you
Thank
so
you
much.
So much. So
thank you.
A reminder to
me.
Our listeners, we're here every week, and we love to hear from you. Please visit our website where you can listen to this program again, share it with others. We have many of our past programs listed there for you to enjoy again. And if you have something that you would like to tell us or a question that you have for Janet about a love letter or if you'd like to be on the show, if you're in the Bay Area, please let us know. Just click the Contact Us. Our website is www.loveletterslive.com.
Thank you.
So today, again, thank you for joining us. And as always, we encourage you to put your loving thoughts into words and send them while you still have the chance.
Thank you. And please remember that if you think you need to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter, writing a love letter is a special occasion. Right. And you should do it often.
Right. Thank you again, Dee, for joining us. This was marvelous.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Right. So, till next time. From Teresa
and Janet.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.